I'm very happy now to welcome to the program April Miller. She's clinical director of the SKY Center, which is a program of the New Mexico Suicide Intervention Project. And there is a conference coming up, which she will tell us about, called Wholehearted Therapist, Wholehearted Families. Welcome, April, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte, for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, Wholehearted Therapist, Wholehearted Families, I mean, what I am gleaning from this is that in order for therapists to be effective in their work, and you're doing some of the toughest work there is in this world, which is helping people dealing with potential or actual suicides, you have to, as the therapist, have a lot of support yourself.
Yes, that's absolutely. I'm glad you picked up on that because it's central to our work at the SKY Training Center, where we are training about 10 graduate students a year who come into the SKY Center training to develop themselves as therapists. We've been doing that over the last 15 years, and most of them are now working in our community, in our agencies. Some of them are heading up our agencies. So we have a long sort of list of alumni now over the last 15 years who have done their training at the SKY Center. And indeed, we are really focusing on how can a therapist develop the capacity to really bear the unbearable, because many of the kids and families that we work with are dealing with the most difficult of life situations.
So when you, I mean, you have these people that you are dealing with, these families you're dealing with, it's the New Mexico Suicide Intervention Project is basically trying to help people before the worst possible outcome happens, namely that a young person takes his or her own life. But I'm guessing you also deal with families after that's happened.
We deal with the whole spectrum, Mary Charlotte. I mean, ideally, like you said, we're dealing with families on the very healthy end of the spectrum whenever they're trying to figure out sort of how to sort of conduct family life, how to raise up children, how to develop the kind of skills that would build resiliency and resources for their children internally. We work with those kids and their families. We also work with families, for the most part, who are struggling with all of those issues. And then we work with families on the more extreme end, that where there's been a suicide attempt. We also work with families after there's been a completed suicide. So we're on the full range, really looking at how to front load things so that folks are building resiliency and capacity prior to having suicide as an option in their life.
For the therapist, and this term is intriguing, wholehearted therapist, on the one hand, you have to have heart or you wouldn't get into this work in the first place. On the other hand, you have to guard your heart a little bit, otherwise you'd go nuts after the first 2 weeks of work.
That's exactly what a lot of the training symposium on March 9th is going to be about, how to do exactly that. How to be able to keep your heart open without burning out, without almost, if you will, becoming as disparate as the kids and families that you're working with, because the stories are stories of despair. Often kids and families come in with very little hope. And how can the clinician, the therapist, the educator continue to hold hope in the midst of all of that unbearable pain? So a lot of our training symposium is going to focus on what we've been learning about how to teach therapists, how to teach folks who work with kids and families, how to maintain their own wholeheartedness, how to keep themselves healthy while still keeping themselves very engaged.
And how do you do that?
We do a number of things. One is we really honor the clinician. We really see it as almost sacred spiritual work, that it is right there along with many people in our faith communities. It has become sort of an essential role in our communities, counselors, therapists, mental health, healthcare providers. So we really want to respect that relationship, provide an enormous amount of supervision, which is often the first thing that goes when there's budget cuts and when there's stress and crises. We want to slow things down. We're really teaching clinicians how to sort of create a sense of presence through some of the mindfulness work, how to go inside and kind of build up their own resources, their own inner resiliency. And we're training around sort of things that we have found over the years to be very useful for kids and families, so that there is a sense of that was helpful, that was useful. Families gain hope. That encourages therapists, educators, and providers to also gain hope by watching some really hands-on improvement in sort of in how kids and families are managing stress.
What are some of the stresses or some of the stories that you see in these families where a young person is attempting suicide or has attempted, and I guess hard to say succeeded, but has completed a suicide? What is going on in these families?
The challenging thing, Mary Charlotte, is not that much necessarily different than what is going on in all of our families. I mean, families that kids and families are struggling with the stressors of life, school difficulties, finances, parents having two jobs, families breaking up, reconfiguring, bringing in new family members on a, you know, ongoing basis. One of the things that we're finding, though, is it's not so much the type of stress, but more importantly, how you handle stress. And some kids who are under an enormous amount of stress have the resilient capacity to sort of have the life skills that we're trying to package up to, in order to, for kids to make wise choices, know how to problem solve. This is sort of our menu of what we call life skills, inner and outer life skills, how to problem solve, how to sustain relationships during tough times, how to build relationships with people like teachers and people that can be helpful to them.
What are some examples of that? Like, what are some of the actual skills that you're teaching?
It's interesting because we had a project in town where we were running some groups for kids, and we were actually teaching kids how to go to a teacher if they were struggling in a course, and how to maybe use things like thank you and other sort of regular social sort of connecting abilities in order to build relationships with teachers. And
you mean common courtesy?
Common courtesy, how to acknowledge I need help, thank you for giving me the help. Those kind of skills that we really are seeing are life skills, that no matter how difficult the issue is, this package of life skills, learning how to make choices, teaching kids how, and their parents, how to go over the pros and cons of different options about how to manage difficulties. So in our family sessions at night, we're doing that with families while we are concurrently teaching interns and graduate students and those working on their advanced licensing to do that, to develop those skills with kids and families.
And I suppose there's always, I mean, presumably the people who come in who are therapists who are being trained do have some life skills already, but I suppose you're always in a process of developing those yourself too.
Yes, it's like a concurrent sort of process. The supervisors at the Sky Center are teaching the therapists who are sharing that with youth and families. And we have found that the more we practice what we're trying to teach, so as a group, we are sitting quietly before our staff meetings now, taking a pause, learning our own mindfulness techniques, how to slow things down when what we're about to talk about are suicides and difficult family situations and very complicated ethical, moral dilemmas as therapists. Rather than rushing into that, we're learning how to slow down. We're trying to practice that ourselves. We're sharing that with the therapists we're training. And in turn, they're working with kids and families around the same sort of collection of life skills that we're calling problem solving, learning how to sustain relationships, how to go inside to create a pause.
And it's interesting. You use the word slowing down a number of times, and it seems like that's one of the hardest things to do in a world where, for example, both parents have multiple jobs and kids are always in a state of being rushed around.
Yes, it's a very hard thing to do, and we're trying to help parents find really simple ways to do that. Maybe it's just one or two nights a week when families can have a family meal together.
And turn off the TV, presumably.
Yes. We're talking to parents and families a lot about filtering, that adults have kind of lost the knowledge, the capacity to filter adult information from kids. Certainly the internet, the media access has made that more challenging of a job for parents. But really getting parents to sort of stand a little bit more as the gatekeepers of information, so that kids are not getting the kind of information that adults are getting at the same time, but that parents are really seeing themselves as a filter for much information that especially younger kids don't have the inner resources to process.
Like what?
Violence, sexual information on TV, media, the evening news usually, Many younger kids do not have the resources to process sort of violent crimes in our community and still be able to go to bed at night sleeping soundly and comfortably. So we're really talking to parents about what it's like to be a filterer in their families and to create some rhythms and rituals where people, where kids and children can start to really identify a sense of belonging inside their own family.
So the event that is happening, it's called Wholehearted Therapists, Wholehearted Families, is open to whom? Therapists, teachers?
Therapists, teachers, nurses, healthcare providers, anybody who really sees themselves in a youth directors, people in the faith community, anyone who would see themselves in a role of being a helper for youth and their families in our community. So it's a wide range of those who would identify themselves as providers, and we're working with St. John College, who is going to provide the space for us on March 9th, and the registration is still open. We're looking for mostly folks from New Mexico, folks in our own community who are looking for getting their CEUs for their licensure, of course, as well as learning some techniques to develop themselves as therapists who can remain wholehearted while working with the most vulnerable and challenging kids and families.
So the website for this training, it's March 9th from 8:30 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon at St. John's College. And the website is wholeheartedskytrainings.com. And I want to also give people the number for the New Mexico Suicide Intervention Project, which is nmsip.org. And the number at the Sky Center is 505-473-6191. Anything else you want to let people know before we go?
No, I also want to just put a plug in that the Sky Center is a free family counseling center, and we're training therapists there, but we're also every night of the week providing free family counseling for any parents who are worried or concerned. Certainly we don't want parents to feel like they have to wait until they think their child is suicidal. Most parents call up because they're worried about a sad mood, they're worried about peer relationships, they're worried about school difficulties. That is when we really want to start working with kids and their families.
April Miller is Clinical Director of the Sky Center. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte.